13. I don't understand your reaction.
To what?
To Peter Wiggins' perfidy.
Oh, is that what it was?
We were supposed to go first, or at least at the same time, and here we are going through the data he collected on the trip he made without you.
It really is much easier to do our work when we have data to work with.
Did you get a personality transplant without telling me?
No. Whose personality do you think I'm using?
Nobody from the Herodotus, that's for sure.
Somebody said something that made me think of who, in the absence of my mother, I was using as a mother figure. I ruled out your mother, though she's been kind to me. On the ship, I'm sure she was as close to being my mother as anyone, but...
She didn't even know how to be a mother to her own sons. She never had a mother either, you know.
I do know. So I thought, am I looking to Jane as a mother? I don't think so. She's too powerful, too distracted. Ender Wiggin was the love of her life, and he's still around inside Peter. And now Miro is her human partner, and the Hive Queen, and the Mother Tree, and the Father Trees.
Yes, I agree. A bad mother figure.
The real Valentine is very old. When I'm with her, I can see how I quickly make her tired.
That's not because she's old. It's because you're exhausting.
Ayla has a life of her own. We work together very well because she treats me like a colleague instead of a child, not a mother.
I thought you were going to explain whose personality you had transplanted into you.
It should be obvious by process of elimination.
And yet it isn't, primarily because we didn't start with the same list of candidates.
Si Wang Mu.
Well, her name does mean royal mother, and you've always thought you were a princess among commoners.
You see, 3 months ago, that comment would have made me angry.
Are you not angry or just not showing your anger?
I find that, as a rule, the less emotion I show, the less I feel, and vice versa. The more I show, etc.
If you can keep this up, it'll drive the twins insane.
I chose Si Wang Mu because I saw how she gently guided Peter Wiggin, surrounding him like a cloud, opening good paths in front of him, obscuring unpromising ones.
You think she controls him?
Controlling other people is not in her nature. I think she cares about him enough to devote herself to helping him achieve his goals, which includes helping him avoid doing things that would defeat his own purposes.
She obeys him like a robot.
Look closer. She projects an always compliant attitude. But she actually complies only when he has heard her out, at which point he usually changes his decision.
You do know that Si Wang Mu acquired these skills when she was a servant to a very demanding mistress in a viciously hierarchical society.
Unlike our own highly egalitarian system where everyone gets an equal voice.
Ours is a family, not a society.
You said it, not me.
Are you becoming a Christian? Like Ender did before he died? Because this smacks of, he that is greatest among you shall be your servant.
I like the version in Luke better. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve.
You like that better because you're the younger.
Si Wang Mu has no Christianity in her background. Her behavior smacks of intelligent adaptation to the world as she found it, in order to survive and prosper. And as far as I can tell, it's been working out pretty well for her.
I noticed you have never suggested trying to teach me how to fly outside and in.
If you want to do what I did. Ask Jane.
I don't actually want to do it.
I didn't think you would.
Why not?
Because then you'd have to be on call whenever somebody needed an interplanetary errand run. Conversation recorded in Q-Bay by Jane Hibera, used by permission of Brussels Delphiki and Thulium Delphiki Pleaked. The Hibera family saves the world.
The light was dimmer when Si Wang Mu opened her eyes after the internal twisting of out-and-in travel. They arrived facing west toward the sea, which was still several kilometers away, and the trees of the littoral screened its brightest rays. So they had arrived at the correct time. Peter was still holding her hand. She let go of him so she could make a complete turn to face the other direction. Was anything different? Sounds. Last time had been so silent that she thought perhaps she could hear the distant crash of waves on the shore. Almost certainly not, but that's what her imagination had supplied in the silence. This time, though, there was a low murmur. Doves cooing? No, too high-pitched. And growing louder, more agitated. And then a bird started up from the grass and quickly flew about 3 meters above the ground. The underside of its spread wings had a fiery orange blaze. But as other birds rose from all around them, hundreds of birds, Wang Mu saw that from above, the only orange was at the base of the fanned-out tail feathers, while the rest of the tail and wings was a beautiful green. Parrots, said Peter softly. Si Wang Mu shrugged. She didn't see it.
Hooked parrot bill, said Peter. Kia, I think.
They studied them back on Earth as the only bird species that played almost all the time. Practical jokes. He didn't really need to say that, because the Kias were already landing on their shoulders, clinging to their clothing, landing on their shoes. Within moments, anything that could be easily removed was gone. A bird took it and flew off. Why are you taking these things? Si Wang Mu asked them. You don't need them, and I do. Peter chuckled.
Don't brush them away. Nothing hostile. They could turn from playful to angry in an instant, and then they'd mob us and we'd have to leave.
Si Wang Mu was surprised that Peter hadn't already returned to Kyubei. Wasn't this an attack by the native fauna?
So, no specimens for Thulium and Sprout? Asked Si Wang Mu.
Peter's trousers dropped. A bird had apparently bitten or gnawed right through the elastic band supporting them. Now, a half dozen birds had their heads inside his pants pockets, bunched around his ankles, searching for anything inside. A low, whispery, gravelly voice at her ear said,
No weapon.
True, said Wang Mu. Why did you leave my pants up?
Empty pockets,
said the bird on her shoulder. That confused Wang Mu a little. Her flashlight had been in her pocket. Had a bird managed to take it out?
Who are you talking to?
Asked Peter.
The bird who's talking to me?
It's well known that Kias don't talk.
They've had 3,000 years to learn, said Wang Mu.
Why would they speak Stark?
Why not? We knew humans visited here. They apparently brought Kias with them.
Then the flurry of wings and murmurings of the Kia were overshadowed by a loud, Caw! Caw! Instantly, all the Kia retreated from Wang Mu and Peter. A single black bird circled around them, about 2 meters away, a rapid orbit that ended with the raven alighting on Wang Mu's shoulder. The raven spoke much more loudly and clearly than the talking Kia had.
Visitors from another planet?
It said.
Will you talk to the council?
Yes, said Wang Mu.
The raven leapt up from her shoulder and flew a zigzagging path toward some trees near them to the north. Wang Mu immediately followed, moving briskly, walking or jogging as the ground allowed. Peter called out, Hey! But pulled up his pants and held them as he ran after her. He soon caught up. The raven flew between two trees. Wang Mu walked directly toward the gap.
Is this wise?
Peter asked softly.
Yes, it is wise, called out the raven voice. If she can hear you talking, we can hear you talking.
This is not imitative speech, said Peter.
We imitate your sounds, said the raven.
We make up our own sentences.
It took you so long to come to land.
The dancing star has been in our sky for months now.
We were afraid you might have diseases here that would be dangerous to us, said Wang Mu.
She could feel the gathering tension in Peter's body. She knew that he felt that he should be speaking with the birds. So she preempted the issue.
I should be silent now, she said. He has the authority on this mission.
Wrong, 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 said the raven,
and other ravens in nearby branches all around them echoed the words.
I talk to you because you talked to us. To the Kias, of course, but they are our allies, friends.
Were they your scouts? Asked Wang Mu. To see if we had weapons.
If you had weapons, we would have fled and stayed far from you forever.
Are there any large predators here that might threaten us? Asked Peter.
Do you ask this from your own fear, or for fear of harm to her?
Asked the raven.
Both,
said Peter.
So you are fearful, said the raven.
Any species without fear does not long survive on any world, said Peter.
I see that he thinks he has authority, said the raven. The colonizers of this world did not release any major predators into the world. Small rodents and lizards and frogs, so owls and hawks could eat. The predator birds do not prey on us. They know we can talk to humans, and they cannot, and we will not speak for them if they kill smaller birds. So they leave all birds alone.
Are there still humans on this world? Asked Peter. The raven waited a moment, and then said to Si Wang Mu,
tell authority man that if he cannot see for himself that there are at least two humans on this world, he is a fool.
My name is Si Wang Mu.
All the ravens repeated her name several times.
My husband is Peter Wiggin.
Nobody repeated his name.
Your maid?
Asked the raven.
Do you have a name? Asked Wang Mu.
I do, but experience has shown us that no human can produce the sounds of our names or our language.
What do the humans of this world call you? Asked Wang Mu.
If there are humans on this world, they might call me interpreter, or speaker, or barking dog. I would answer to any such name they bestowed on me, because their names would not matter to us.
Would it offend you if I called you dog? Asked Wang Mu.
Why would you choose that name? Asked Dog.
You don't seem to have any dogs here, because if there were any, they would surely chase you, said Wang Mu. And the name is brief and easy to remember, especially when applied to a raven.
Good reasons, said Dog.
I would be grateful, said Wang Mu, for the return of our belongings. Some of them are quite important to us.
If we had humans on this planet, it might be our duty to take everything to them, said Dog.
If you want our friendship, you or the humans who might live on this world, then you will return our equipment. If you steal equipment from us, we will not return.
Wang Mu was thinking of how impossible Thulium's mission would be if Kia's were constantly dismantling and stealing all her gear.
Why do you think we will have diseases that are dangerous to you?
Asked Dog. In the Dancing Star, our friends have received radio communications that contain descriptions of viruses very similar to the most dangerous disease ever experienced on any world with humans. If you know about that virus, perhaps you have suffered from that disease?
Silence. More silence.
We have much to discuss, said Dog.
But we have nothing to discuss, said Wang Mu, unless our belongings are returned to us now.
Part of what we must discuss is whether to return them.
No, said Wang Mu. We will not stay here and wait. We will return to our planet.
If we return with all our equipment, then we will come back and talk with you further. But if we return with all our equipment stolen, we will never come back. We will conclude that this planet is populated by hostile beings who wish to be our enemies.
Immediately, ravens took to the air and swarmed above and around them, cawing loudly.
Not even a second later, Peter and Wang Mu were standing on a tidal bench of sand at the seashore, looking down at the rolling swells and the low-breaking waves.
Lusitania must also have oceans and a seashore, said Si Wang Mu. Or are we in Lusitania?
We've never found a habitable planet that didn't have oceans, said Peter. It's in the oceans that bacteria manufacture the breathable atmosphere. And we only jumped a few kilometers.
Do you think they've seen where we went? Asked Wang Mu.
Definitely, said Peter. Even if they don't see us, they can smell us.
Sorry if I said things I shouldn't have, said Wang Mu. There was no time to confer.
Oh, I'm grateful you spoke directly to the parrots, said Peter. That's what won you their trust. And since you're doing an excellent job, where did you learn to negotiate like that?
Being poor on Path helps develop many skills, said Wang Mu. A lone raven flew toward them and landed on the sand a couple of meters off. Are you the raven I call Dog? Asked Wang Mu.
I am unworthy of being mistaken for her, said the raven. What will you call me?
What is your duty right now?
To carry messages from you to the council, said the raven.
Then you are Mercury, said Wang Mu.
How can that be my name? Demanded the raven. Nobody believes in that old Roman god.
Wang Mu was baffled yet again. Why would unbelief in a god make its name off limits? How much did these ravens know? How well educated were they in the history and lore of humanity?
I would give you the name of a god that is believed in, or of a famous priest, but the names are in Chinese, and no other human you will meet from our world can pronounce that language properly.
She was aware of Peter's movement beside her, knowing that he was about to insist that Because Ender spoke Chinese, Peter could speak Chinese. So she repeated, softly,
"Properly."
He remained silent.
"Are you male or female?"
she asked the raven. "I am male, and therefore expendable if you should capture or kill me."
"Then I should not name you Fragrant Princess. I will call you Phoenix. It is not a god, only a legend. A bird that dies in fire, then rises alive again from the embers."
"I know that name," said Phoenix. "Bird dies in flames and rises up from the ashes. Very hopeful name."
"No one believes in that one either," said Peter softly.
"Who was the Kia who first spoke to me on my shoulder?" asked Wang Mu.
"The Kias are not organized," said Phoenix. "And even though they have names, they keep trading them, so the name never refers to the same Kia twice."
"They seemed very organized to me," said Wang Mu.
"What you saw was every Kia playing, doing whatever they felt like. The only organizing principle was to steal everything from you that one Kia could carry away by flight."
"Very effective," said Peter, who was still holding up his pants.
"They brought everything to you," said Wang Mu.
"Not to the council," said Phoenix. "But we left those things with the Kia for safekeeping."
"Will they give them back to us?" asked Wang Mu.
"I don't know," said Phoenix.
"Then we will leave," said Wang Mu, taking Peter's hand.
"Please, do not go."
"Not yet," said Phoenix.
"Why not?" asked Peter.
"Because the council will not take long to make a decision, and I believe it is worth waiting to hear what they say."
"So we have to wait till you fly back to them and then back to us?" asked Peter.
"I fly very quickly," said Phoenix. "But nothing prevents you from returning to where you were before."
"Except a mob of ravens circling us and shouting at us," said Wang Mu.
"They were upset," said Phoenix.
"So were we," said Wang Mu.
"They will be quiet and still if you go back there."
Peter squeezed her hand, but she pulled her hand free.
"Phoenix, would you like us to take you with us? The way we travel? In an instant?"
"Yes," said Phoenix. "I'm not supposed to suggest that you do it, but if it happens, I will report what it feels like."
"It will probably be uncomfortable for a moment, and maybe frightening, but you will be safe," said Wang Mu.
"We hope,"
said Peter, not trying to lower his voice.
"Yes," said Wang Mu. "We have never taken a bird with us before."
She put her hand in Peter's.
"Then my life and soul are in your keeping," said Phoenix, hopping toward them across the sand.
A moment later, they were back in front of the council trees. Phoenix was right in front of them, struggling and flapping in the grass.
"You'll be fine," said Wang Mu. "Don't try to fly. Just stand up and be still for a moment."
Phoenix stood up and remained still as a statue.
"It has been a moment. Will I ever be able to fly again?"
"Now that you're calm," said Peter, "try it and see."
Phoenix instantly fluttered upward into flight. When he landed, Dog spoke from the trees.
"Why did you risk the life of our messenger?" she asked.
"We asked him if he wanted us to take him with us," said Wang Mu. "If he had not consented, we would not have brought him. He will report to you what he experienced.
We also go through inner turmoil for a few moments when we fly that way, and we sometimes feel disoriented when we arrive.
Will you take me with you?
Asked Dog.
No, said Peter.
Not if we don't have our belongings back, said Wang Mu.
Farewell, said Peter, reaching for Wang Mu's hand.
How far was Peter willing to take the bluff?
Because bluff it certainly was.
A bright orange flash dropped down, turning green when they saw it from above. It was carrying Wang Mu's tiny flashlight. It didn't put it at her feet. The Kia put it back in the pants pocket it had been taken from. Within moments, the Kias had swarmed all over them, returning everything.
I don't suppose any of you knows how to restore the elastic on my pants, said Peter.
Is the Kia who first spoke to me among you? Is that bird here? Asked Wang Mu.
After a flurry of Kias jumping up into the air and down again, one Kia flew up onto Wang Mu's shoulder. She instantly recognized the voice that spoke softly in her ear. Of course, she had no way of knowing whether all talking Kias sounded exactly this way.
Thank you for speaking to me, said Wang Mu.
You spoke to us, said the Kia. I was the one with the best speech.
I am Si Wang Mu, she said. But in Star Common, my name means Royal Mother of the West.
Are you the best speaker among your people? Asked the Kia.
I am the one who first realized that you were intelligent and aware, so I spoke to you first.
Then you are also our royal mother, said the Kia.
Are you male or female? Asked Wang Mu.
To us, that question is an awful insult, for it suggests that our sex is not obvious from our feathering. But because you are an ignorant alien and a human as well, I will answer you simply. I am male.
Then I will call you Royal Son, said Wang Mu, if you will call me Royal Mother.
Am I your hatchling now? Your fledgling? Are we kin?
I don't know what such declarations would mean among you, said Wang Mu, but I am whatever will assure that we are and will remain good friends with each other.
Kind intentions toward you, Royal Mother.
Kind intentions toward you too, Royal Son.
Take me with you back to your world, Royal Mother, said the Kia.
I will ask the council if they think this is a good idea, said Wang Mu. For myself, I would gladly take you, and then bring you back again within a day.
Since the council was obviously hearing every word of this exchange, it was no surprise that Dog answered immediately.
I asked you to take me, she said. But the council has forbidden me, because they think that losing me would be calamitous.
It would not. But the one you now call Royal Son is of no particular importance except when talking to humans. So if he died, the Kias would be only a little worse off.
Thank you, said Royal Son.
Kias can be quite sarcastic, said Dog, but we understand that this is part of their natural playfulness, and so we do not kill them when they speak disrespectfully to ravens.
Peter, said Wang Mu, has everything been returned to you?
Except for my dignity and a working waistband, yes.
And I have everything of mine, said Wang Mu. Royal Son, will you come with us?
Yes, gladly,
he said. Did you see how disturbed Phoenix was when he traveled with us a few minutes ago? Asked Wang Mu.
I did. I am not afraid.
Stay here on my shoulder, said Wang Mu. Where I go, you will go. She took Peter's hand. They were in Cubae on Lusitania. Almost immediately, several of the lab workers outside their enclosure noticed them, and the normal purifications and exchanges began. Wang Mu explained things as well as she could to Royal Sun. He said nothing to her, but flew here and there inside Cubae to look through the various windows. All of Peter's and Wang Mu's clothing and gear were passed into the purification chamber, while they pulled on their temporary quarantine clothes, which would also be purified when they left.
How will they purify me? Asked Royal Sun.
We don't know which of these chemicals will harm you, said Peter. To be sure we can keep our promise to bring you safely back to your people, it would be better if you stayed in this room with us until we return tomorrow morning.
You will stay in this room? Asked Royal Sun.
Once they've checked us for disease, said Wang Mu, we will stay.
Will they check me for disease? Asked Royal Sun.
Only if you give them your permission, said Wang Mu. They would like to take a blood sample from you. They will use the brush technique down the feathers of your chest. It stings slightly, at least when they do it to me. We'll let you watch when they brush our skin, and then you can decide if you want to undergo the procedure yourself.
I think I understand undergo, said Royal Sun. But brush?
Preen, said Wang Mu. It's what you do with your own beaks to smooth your feathers and clean them.
Royal Sun seemed to understand, because he immediately changed the subject.
Is there anything in this room that I can play with? He asked.
Peter said, play?
Please don't play with the locks and closures of the doors and windows, said Wang Mu. And please don't remove any parts that are attached to something. But anything loose and lying around, yes, you may play with it.
Instantly, Royal Sun was fluttering here and there, picking up anything, everything, and moving it somewhere else.
Somebody's going to complain about this, said Peter.
They can take it up with Dog, said Wang Mu. We don't really have much authority over the Kia instinct to play.